Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grief Burrito.
We talk games.
We talk movies.
And today, we're joined by Dave from Heroic Replicas to talk about some of the most amazing video game weapons and replicas that he has been making and spreading out across the land.
Let's fucking spreading do this. Them out.
Spreading them out. Handing them out. Weapons. It's not illegal, trust me. Play the intro. Save me. Welcome, everyone, to episode 109 of Grief Burrito. I'm Haz.
I'm Jordan.
And we hope you enjoyed last week, first of all, when we went through our gaming nostalgia goggles to see whether they actually exist. And thanks to everyone who got involved in all the Zelda groups and everything, looking back over from Breath of the Wild at Ocarina of Time. And also a shout out to Klaus from Syncify, who is a fellow podcast platform creator. I see you listening to our podcast, and we appreciate you. And now, a little bit of news from us that you can listen to and, well, listen and watch our podcast, all from griefburrito.com, which launched properly last week. It's all on there. It's all ready for you. Jordan, I hope you're appreciating it because you're now an editor on that website as well, whether you like it or not. But anyway, today we're joined by the master crafter himself, Dave. Say hello, man.
Hello. Thanks for having me on here.
Thank you so much for joining us, dude. We brought you here today to discuss some absolutely incredible gaming replicas that I can't remember when I first came across your stuff. I think it was on some random forum through Reddit, someone sharing awesome things, and I came across your Master Sword. And I want to give our wonderful and probably well-dressed listeners a bit of background on yourself and the credentials that you have. So could you maybe tell them like how you even got into making these incredible replicas that you've been kicking out?
Oh, for sure. So my name's David Leffering. I live in the sunny shores of Canada City in Ontario, Southern Ontario in Canada. I have a mechanical engineering degree from McMaster University. And I started getting into designing replicas using 3D CAD programs like SolidWorks or Solid Edge. At the time, I had been out of university for a couple of years. I was working at a steel fabrication plant, and my job was to do simple CAD designs. Like if somebody would come in with a drawing on a piece of cardboard for like a base plate or something like that, and then I would draw it up, turn that into a file that the plasma cutter or the laser cutter could read, and then they'd ship out the parts. So I'm like, okay, well, I have access to all this steel and all this stuff, and I can buy it for a reasonable price. So let's just cut some blades and see what happens. So the very first replica that I made was a Master Sword, but it's not how I make them now. So the first one that I made was with a cast resin hilt. So I did some CAD work on the side for a pattern maker. A pattern maker is a person who makes a wooden form that makes impressions in sand that then goes to a foundry. So I did like a couple hundred bucks worth of work for him, and then he used his CNC mill to mill me out a mold out of a big chunk of wood. So this was like 8 or 9 years ago. So the very first Master Sword that I made had had a resin hilt made with smooth-on 325, which is a type of two-part plastic. And it was the front half and the back half, and you glued them together over top of the blade. And then the blade, I like painted silver. And for the gold part, I used a little bit of gold leaf and a really messy job with some nail polish and some spray paint. And the hilt, I did. I learned how to do like a leather braid, like you might do on a whip. So like the first time I made one, I thought, yeah, this is all right. I could probably do better the second time around. So I posted on Reddit and I got an incredible response. I got like 18,000 upvotes and 160,000 views on that in Imgur. And then that was like, okay, people seem to like this, so I'm going to try to make it better the next time. So I did. And then on that one, I actually put it on eBay.
Nice.
Just on a whim. I started at a dollar. I didn't know what I was doing.
You started at a dollar? And
it started at a dollar, yeah.
Nice.
So
I think you're short selling yourself slightly, there, buddy. Yeah. You don't.
All of my eBay auctions have been at a dollar, actually.
Wow.
It's kind of like a good luck tradition nowadays.
Okay. I'll be looking out for those in the future.
Yeah. So you can see the photo. It's the fourth one from the bottom in the notes. It's in the forest and it has a black braided leather handle. One I went on eBay and it got purchased by one of the staff members of Zelda Universe.
Oh, very cool.
He was pretty happy with it. And he's like, well, at some point I want to go full bore and you can make me a real one that doesn't have a resin handle, that has a metal one. So it took like a couple of years to develop what the approach was going to be. Am I going to do a sand casting? Am I going to machine it? How much is it going to cost? That sort of thing. And we hemmed and hawed about it, but slowly but surely we came to, develop a new, better one. And that is more or less the same kind of design that I have today. So the hilt got changed to a cast bronze hilt. The golden bits, instead of being just plastic, they were machined bronze. And like before, I had them just plastic that I painted. And then I changed that to cast pewter that I electroplated gold myself.
Oh, nice. Okay. For audio listeners of the podcast who can't see the images that we're putting on the video, I can't beat around the bush that these look legit as fuck. It is astounding high quality these Master Sword blades from Zelda are. You've got two versions of these images that we can see. So you've got a slightly more purple hue and a slightly more blue hue. One it probably aimed at Ocarina of Time, one towards Twilight Princess, and which is
So the idea is I wanted to make a Master Sword that was first loyal to the form, then loyal to materials, and then loyal to practicality.
Okay.
So if you take the in-game polygonal model and you scale it to what the proper length is supposed to be, the blade is actually an inch thick because you want it to show up in the game.
Yeah, it is. It's very chunky.
You can't have a sword. Yeah, you can't have a sword that's an inch thick. Then that's 60 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So instead, I made it closer to 3/16 of an inch thick.
Okay.
And the model has been updated a few times because I first went to a wooden match plate to make the bronze castings. So that was a coarse sand casting. So it's a big chunk of wood with one half on one side and the other half on the other face. And they take that, they put that inside of a giant press machine with loose sand inside of it on the top and bottom.
Yeah.
And then it sandwiches down and then takes it apart. You take the wooden thing out and then put the two halves together. That's what a match plate does, is it creates a cavity in sand for you to pour in the molten metal.
Okay.
I had a revision on that because it got a little bit dropped once or twice.
A little bit dropped. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Small bit of gravitational impact.
Yeah, gravity got involved slightly.
Yeah,
I'd heard that bronze was hard to work with. I'd heard that it can explode in the sand casting molds, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So the thing
you're
is,
just nonplussed. Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's part of the job.
Well, this is a really big thing. Is that my wheelhouse is design, and I know that there are people in the world that know how to actually do these things a lot better than me. So it's about me calling up the best person I know to do a job and having them do it for me.
Yeah, yeah. Networking.
Yes, networking. If you have a foundry that is literally down the road and your boss is best friends with them, then it's your job to become best friends with them as well. And they'll do some really good work for you. And you make sure that you pay them for their time, because that's a very important part.
It is, yes, yes.
Yes.
First and foremost, make sure you pay for the services that you want. You've also got a... So this is a Dark Link version of the Master Sword as well. Was that... Because I just want to say to... Like, you do commission work as well for people. So was the was the Dartling one a commission, or was that just something that you wanted to try as well?
So the Darkling sword is it actually was introduced because there were castings that came out that just weren't any good to use. So in general, if you have a casting, you need to fill up every single one of the pores with a filler, a metal filler, or an epoxy, or a method called impregnation, which is where they dunk it in a tank of resin and then vacuum it so that it enters every single crack, like even hairline cracks.
Yeah, yeah.
And that way, when we do the powder coat, which is the top coat, it won't form as many bubbles.
Okay.
So the coloring that I use for the shield and the master sword is, it's called powder coat. It's what you would find on a bicycle or on an automobile.
Okay. Yeah.
And I chose that because then you get the pearlescent and you can choose a very specific color.
Right. Nice.
And speaking of color, like, it's kind of a weird debate what color the master sword is. Is it blue? Is it purple?
Yeah. Like, a lot of people
disagree. I know it's purple, but people say they want blue, and I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, if that's what they want. I mean, I suppose in the game of Ocarina of Time, it looks more blue, but if you look in the, you know, the manual in the art book, it is more purple. Mm-hmm. Like, I completely agree with you there.
I think in the manual art, so there's three models with Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
There's the comic kind of art in the manual, where it has a bit of a bulb.
Yeah.
And I think that that's blue. And then there's the, there's what you would find on like the icon screen in the status menu and also what the 3D model is. And that's definitely purple.
Yeah.
But even that design isn't quite what I've made. I've made something that's certainly like Skyward Sword, Breath of the Wild style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super purple.
Super. Yeah.
Yes. And I do have an upcoming commission for the original Link to the Past style, which is of a silver handle with a red, or silver hilt crossguard with a red handle.
Yeah, that's quite a different design as well. It's a very cool one. That's one that's never, I've never played a Link to the Past all the way through. It's one of the only Zelda games that hasn't captured me, which is weird because I absolutely love all the Zelda games. But that that particular one has never, other than the CDI, you know, my boy that we're talking about before, other than those, right, which I've never played through.
But you've played Link Between Worlds then?
I've played most of it. My brother owns that one, so I played it on his 3DS, because I never owned a 3DS either. So I got up to the last dungeon on that one, I think.
Maybe. Listen, I'll see if I can borrow where it. I come from, not owning a console isn't a valid excuse for not playing a game.
You may be right. You may be right.
You gotta get on that.
Canada's a fierce place for the console ownership. Like, so you said you started here then with the Zelda stuff. So
yeah.
What is it, one of your favorite titles? Is there a particular reason you started there, or?
I mean, in terms of fantasy weapons, the Master Sword is, it's a good combination of iconic. Yeah. And relatively simple. Okay. I did eventually make a Buster Sword.
I saw that. Like, yeah.
To compare the difference between the Master Sword and the Buster Sword is, it's literally 60 pounds of metal. Like,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, it seems a bit excessive, doesn't it?
Yes.
I do want to ask about that. Like, who ordered that? And were you like, what the fuck? How am I going to ship this?
It always starts with a commission. Like, if one person is able to make to put in the money to pay for the design work, which is most of my thing. Like, mine is all design and logistics.
Okay.
And I can definitely do some fabrication myself. But then, like, the separate components, like the welding part of it or the powder coating part of it, that gets outsourced. And whenever you do that, you need to do like a small batch.
Yeah,
So that's why I gravitate towards projects that are iconic or popular. And it's always like a small batch. It's always like, you know, four or six or something like that.
Okay.
And that does help out because, like, the Buster Sword, there was one person who was in Alberta who ordered the first one. And then because the design is actually kind of simple, like, it's a lot of metal, but because it's that big and I'm not expecting anybody to swing it, I don't need to like heat treat it or temper it.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a cosmetic edge on it. Like the metal is shaped to a point, but it's not like sharp or anything.
Okay. I mean, when it weighs that much, it doesn't really even need to be that sharp, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
You definitely just lose your toe
if someone, it, that's
if it,
it
slipped.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very an impressive piece. It really is very cool. And like above that in the chat, any of your listeners who are in the Burrito Family Discord, the one above it is obviously the first deity sword from Majora's Mask, which is one of my favorite Zelda games. Mm-hmm. And that's a really interesting piece in that the metal is obviously, would you call it plated? Is it plated if it's only two?
It's aluminum, so it's anodized.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So. Right. I am starting to move to make things purely out of aluminum now because it's lighter. It's just as strong as steel for the sizes and shapes that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can anodize it. And anytime that you can save a step, like if you can just take the material and then put a coating on it instead of having to paint it yourself, then that saves a day.
Yeah, yeah, it saves all day's work, doesn't it? Yeah, because like that was something I was going to ask when we were talking about the Master Sword earlier. Is you know, some of the designs with like Skyward Sword, the blade itself has a blue, almost iridescent hue, and I know that you can heat treat steel, can't you, to make it turn blue? Or you can temper it to a certain temperature. Is that something that you've thought about doing with that, or is?
No, I'd rather just make it shiny and chrome and as close to a mirror finish without obsessing over it, because like it doesn't matter how much you work the steel like or how much you polish the steel, you're always going to have like a texture or a grain inside of it.
Right. Okay.
It kind of changing the color of the blade is definitely tricky. You'd need you'd need a very precise process to make that happen. But speaking of coloring the blade, the most recent replica that I made is the Gilded Sword from Majora's Mask.
Yes, let's get onto that. So you just literally posted a picture of that into our Discord, didn't you?
Yep. I literally put together the first, I guess you would call it a rough assembly, a dry assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my newer designs have like hidden nuts and screws and bolts to keep things together, and then you also pair that with a bunch of epoxy and everything fits together nicely.
Right. So talk us through the process, because the blade is literally like, how many parts is that?
So the blade is one large golden piece in the middle, which is stainless steel.
Okay.
That's been electroplated with a gold coating.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually the precise process is called vacuum metallization.
Okay.
It's what C-3PO is coated with.
Nice. Okay.
Okay.
And then on top of that, like wedged into the sides of it is another six triangles, and that creates the gilded effect. So you can see that of those triangles, they come off the top of the surface a little bit, but they share the same edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those pieces are just steel.
Right, so they're regular steel. Okay.
Yeah, it is
you
a
say
spring
just
steel.
Steel.
Yeah.
Like it's not a feat on its own. Like it's not impressive.
Yeah,
it is incredibly
very
impressive.
Yeah, it really is.
So that steel is spring steel, and it does need to be waxed every once in a while. But it's not sharpened because the edge of the golden part couldn't be sharpened, because if you plate something and then sharpen it, or if you sharpen something and then plate it, on the very edge, that plating's not going to stick, and then it might peel, or there's risk of chipping, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and then you obviously can't sharpen it once it's been gilded, otherwise you just scrape off the surface, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, there's been a bunch of artistic interpretations of what this is supposed to look like, because there's no official render of the gilded sword. And even, like, in the 3DS Majora's Mask update, the design of it wasn't really uniform between the graphics and between the menu icon and what he's holding in the game.
Yeah, that so just sticks that, to that game, doesn't it? That everything's weird and makes you feel uneasy.
Yeah.
Sorry,
for sure.
What were you going to say then? Sorry, you said you hope that what?
Oh, I'm hoping that people really like this take on it, because there's a bunch of fan-made art where the horns get all like weird and golden and red, but I just wanted the simple silver horn type crossguard on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy crossguard, isn't it, Jordan?
It is actually crazy. It looks like it should be springy. Mentioning spring steel. But if you... Sorry, that was terrible.
It was.
So if you actually cut around that in Photoshop, you know, like Magic Wand did it, if you look at it from far enough away, it does look like it's come from a video game straight up. Mm-hmm. So well played on that aspect. It looks so true to video game that I'm really impressed anyway.
Yeah.
But what's the most time-consuming build you've done? Like, I'd assume now you're much more kind of... efficient in terms of what you're doing, especially now you're working more with aluminium. I nearly said aluminium.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. So what's the aluminium? Yes. So what's the most time-consuming build you've done so far?
I think that in terms of pure design hours, I put most into the Master Sword, because I've done like 3 or 4 revisions. The first one milled out of wood, had the gems integrated into it. The second one made sure that wasn't the case, because it's really easy to paint one thing one color, but it's really hard to two-tone something or get around corners or elbows with a second color.
Yeah.
There was the redesign where I went to sandcasting, and most recently, from this point onward, all my Master Swords are machined purely.
Okay.
Right, okay.
So I wanted to... Did I have that photo here? I'm going to grab one more photo.
Yeah, no worries. And you've also got the precursor to the Master Sword, the Goddess Sword from Skyward Sword as well, haven't you? Yes,
the Goddess Sword for sure. The Goddess Sword is... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, we've been talking quite a lot about the Zelda side.
Yes.
But I just want to point out to people that you have done a bunch of other stuff as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So like you said, you've done a Buster Sword, one to me that... I really want to say one looks like it's from Devil May Cry, but I don't know if that's true.
Is it the black one, the Fellblade, or the one with the face on it?
The one with the face on it, but I guarantee that's not from Devil May Cry, but it really reminds me of Devil May Cry.
This is some obscure knowledge. I don't think anybody would ever guess this one.
Is it not...
Okay, right. I feel less bad.
It's not Power Rangers. It's the...
No.
I can't remember it. I know, I've recognized it. Is it from another Japanese series like that, like Ultraman?
It's a super deep cut anime sword.
Okay, what's it from?
Super deep cut.
There's an anime called Rance, and this is the sword Chaos.
Is it Rance? Is that the same thing as Rance Zero?
Or I do not know. I know that Rance has there's a number of tactical games, and there's an anime, and the anime is exceptionally horny.
Oh.
Yes, they usually are.
Yes. but that was right, okay. That was a one-off. The blade is aluminum, and then the entire face is resin casting from a 3D print.
Okay.
Right, okay. Did you like...
And then there's also the sword from Transistor and the Infinity Gauntlet and the guitar from Majora's Mask
as well. Yeah. Yes. I'd love to have a go on that, shred some tunes.
Yeah. I'm glad that worked out, the guitar, because it was touch and go for a bit. So it turns out that my brother... is really into making and building and tuning guitars. So I was luckily able to lean on him for his expertise.
Yeah.
When it came to actually doing the art for the guitar, so I had it roughed out, and that was the easy part, because you can do that. I can cat it out and then hand it off to a CNC mill. When it comes to actually sketching out the art, I am terrible at actually drawing.
Okay.
So I did the shotgun approach. I went to Fiverr and I found like 6 or 7 different artists, and I said, here is a outline of the silhouette. Here's what it should probably look like. Here are your inspirations. Make me something black and white, and then here's, you know, $20 to $40 for your trouble.
Cool, okay.
And... And all of them got back to me in like 2 or 3 days, and I picked the best one, and that's what the art is. And I made sure to include the commercial license in that too.
Very cool. Yeah. Always got to make sure to do that. Hey, it looks great. So like, what's the, this is obviously going very musical. What are the pickups that you used in there?
The cheapest, best ones from China.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. I didn't know whether you'd got like Seymour Duncans or something.
Oh, no. I mean, if somebody wanted something like that, then they would just have to point it out and I'd make it happen.
Very cool. Good to know. Good to know, man.
It's very much like the university thing in England of like, I'd like your cheapest, strongest drink.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a...
It's like, I want your cheapest, best thing.
I thought you were going to say Jones, cheapest degree.
It's not Jimbo. It's the other guy. the one that hilariously doesn't have a name in The Simpsons.
Oh, which one?
I feel like it'd be difficult to say if he doesn't have a name.
Not Dorf, the one who's almost bald, the punk that's almost bald that hangs out with Jimbo Jones and Dorf.
Oh.
Or Dolph.
I want to say Kearney, but it's probably, is it Kearney?
Oh, he doesn't have a name.
It's
I don't know.
The name is Polish. We're going to figure this out.
Okay, we'll do it. Be live on the show.
It's one of the bullies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. All right.
Simpsons bully names.
So you can get it first. Simpsons bully names. I've got Simpsons.
Dolph. Kearney.
Yeah, Kearney.
Kearney.
Jimbo.
Kearney's a twitch.
There you go. Now we all know.
Is that what I said? I don't remember.
I think you did say that, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Kearney G's Witch.
I was like,
G's Witch.
Yeah. Damn. And that's spelled ZZYZWIC. Zed. Jeez, witch.
I hope that's a real name with 4 Zeds in.
4, yes.
Also, you said Zed, didn't
you? That'd be worth a lot in Scrabble.
Yes, I Zed. It's one of my favorite bands of all time is ZZ Top.
Ah, very good.
ZZ Top.
Everybody's crazy about that sharp dressed man. I love ZZ Top. They're so good. I managed to see them live once and it was so cool live. Have you ever seen him, Jordan?
No, I'm aware of sharp dressed man and that is it. I got told I looked like ZZ Top because I had a massive beard during lockdown.
Yeah, he's just shaved his beard.
And I was like, wow, twice by two people. I was like, how dare you?
What did you expect? Like, hey, up, ZZ Top. It's like people always call me Jesus. It's like, yeah. Did you think of that joke just now?
Yeah. I went to pick up something to do with the house. I literally drove up to the place, went to collect it, and the guy was like, you're right, ZZ Top. I was like, come on, mate. It's like, don't do me like that. I'm just picking up taps. Come on.
Picking up taps. Thank you,
man. I was.
Mate, thank you, though. I got a question for you, Dave, that I want to know about. And it's like, it's burning right in my soul. Did you own replicas beforehand?
No. My game collecting was not limited. So there's, I wanted to have, the games that I really liked. I have a large Steam library. I had a pretty good collection of all the consoles. After moving across the country and then back again, I was in Ontario, I moved to BC, moved back. Right. I lost a bunch of stuff because I sold a bunch of stuff and then I wanted to slowly build that back up. But back in 2016, I actually had a burglary.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
So it was no good. I was in the hospital for like a weekend.
Yeah.
And while I was gone, my house got completely cleared out. And that was everything. That was my... all my video games since I was 12, like my computer, my TV. I had a Wii connected to the TV. I had a second Wii in the closet and that was stolen too.
Fuck.
It might have been a friend of an old roommate or something like that. I don't know if they ever caught the guy. I don't know if they ever got any evidence. But luckily I had renter's insurance, so they made me whole again. So that's in the past, but it's kind of reframed my collection priorities.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I have my Steam account, and I have the modern consoles. I've been loving Xbox Game Pass.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I'm all about at the moment.
And I bought into that for a couple years too. So like back when you could do the gold to normal conversion.
Did you get like 3 years or something like that for like a few pounds?
Yeah, exactly. So in Costco, they had a deal where you could buy a year for $10 off. And then every time you did that and then enabled auto renew, they added an extra year. So I bought 2.5 years with plus another 3 months and then did a straight conversion from gold to Game Pass. And so now I'm paid up until middle of next year. So brilliant. Good to go.
Look
there.
Look at that. That's planning ahead.
I know. Free game. I know a few people that have done it as well. I'm kind of jealous I didn't.
Yeah. Like, are you on Game Pass Ultimate, Jordan, on the PC?
No, I had it for a month or two, and I was like, this is really not worth it, because I don't want to play any of these games.
Oh, really? There's loads of good stuff.
And then I think the only thing I played was Sea of Thieves for a little bit, but the rest of it, I was like, I already own the majority of the games I want. Anything I want, I just kind of buy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I was actually playing Sea of Thieves yesterday.
It kind of stacks up, I suppose. Yeah, it's okay. It's just a bit samey, personally.
But yeah, it's got a lot better.
Here to talk about Sea of Thieves.
No, I know. Well, you never know. Dave might want to make a metal pirate ship to sail around in, or one of the swords from Sea of Thieves. Have you ever thought about doing that, Dave?
That'd be pretty cool.
I know that Harrison over at Vulpin Props, he made a keg. I'm pretty sure that was like a expo kind of display type thing.
Right. So are you friendly with other, like, do you know quite a few other prop makers then?
I mean, like, I learned like anybody else by watching those early Vulpin Props videos. And one day he decided to follow me on Twitter. I'm like, did I just make it?
I've ascended.
Who am I?
Who am I now? What does it mean?
What does it mean? What are we fighting for? It's a pretty good time. Sorry, I got a doorbell here. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no worries, man.
No worries.
I'm feeling weird about YouTube recently, though. It's done that thing again where it keeps suggesting me nothing that I'm interested in, and it keeps suggesting the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I watch one thing that I'm kind of vaguely interested in one day, and then that's all. And then it's like,
hey, you might like all of this stuff.
It's like Amazon, when it's like you buy a toilet seat and everything that it suggests to you from that point on is a toilet seat. It's like, I'm not collecting them. I needed one.
Just one is fine.
Yeah, just one.
You might have one of those really fancy toilet seats. Like, oh, we actually, this has come up before, those Japanese toilet seats. Did you order one yet? Have you got one, Dave?
No, I've not ordered one. I don't know if I just want the full unit, though. You know, the absolute unit.
The big chunky tank toilet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just get the entire thing. For some reason, my brain immediately went to a toilet that is a tank. I don't know why.
What I was thinking of. Yeah. Have you seen those, Dave? Have you seen those crazy? Have you ever been to Japan? Have you seen the toilets they've got there?
No, I've never been to Japan, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
technically, all toilets do have tanks.
They do. Yes, they have back tanks. Yeah. Yes.
Yes,
I'm thinking more like a Sherman tank.
Yeah,
where you sit on it.
Dave, I have a commission for you. Can you build me a Sherman tank toilet?
Sure, man.
Nice.
To bring things back around to my to gaming and game collections.
Yes,
what just arrived was a analog Super NT.
Oh, okay.
Which is a high-end Super Nintendo kind of clone console made by Analog. They make great stuff.
They do. Yes. Okay. They're the guys.
We were talking about that the other day, right?
Yeah, we had Retro Dodo on. Have you seen his channel at all?
Nope.
No? Definitely a channel worth checking out. He gets hold of all these like replica consoles that emulate absolutely every console under the sun. We were talking about the Analog Pocket. Is it Analog Pocket 2?
Yes.
See the Pocket 2?
The Pocket 1. I have that pre-ordered, and they delayed that into October, I think.
Oh, right. You actually managed to get a pre-order, though. I know a lot of people struggle to even get one of those.
Yeah, I've had stupid good luck with getting stuff from them, but I knew the Super NT was arriving today, and that's why I did not want to miss the door.
Yeah, I do not blame you. Don't worry. It's absolutely fine.
No, it's fine.
I feel like the gaming gods are smiling
just
on
being
you.
Like, hey, I'd really like to pre-order one of these. How would you like a Master Sword?
I will trade you. Have you ever bribed anyone with a weapon? And I don't mean bribe as in threaten. I mean like, yeah.
Well, that's, I was going to say, yeah, if you offer someone like, how about a master sword? They're just like, oh my God.
In the
gut. Think you're going to kill them.
Yeah. So you guys, I thought that this was common knowledge, but I do the grand prize for Games Done Quick every year.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah. So, have you watched a Games Done Quick in the last like 6 Games Done Quick?
No.
Well,
I tend to watch specific games, but yeah. I've never seen like the full spectacle.
Games Done Quick, for those who don't know, is a biannual online charity streaming event that's a week long that does speed runs. Mm-hmm. They raise money for Doctors Without Borders and Prevent Cancer, typically. There's one in January and then one in the summer. And for the past couple of years on each of those events, I've furnished the grand prize. Wow. So if you donate a certain amount of money over the course of the event, then you get entered for the draw. Previous winners have gotten a Master Sword or Hylian Shield or the Zorgatar. And this year, or this one for the summer event, I'm doing the same thing, where you can get almost anything that's in my portfolio of your choice.
Wow, that's cool, dude.
Christ, that is awesome. And it's for such a good cause as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible, honestly.
And they've been great to work with, and like the day that I showed them my stuff in an email and they said, yes, this is going to be the grand prize, I just took a moment. I'm like,
yeah. Oh shit.
What is my life? What is happening?
Who am I? What is
this? Well, that's amazing, wow. Man. I don't even know how didn't even come up when I was looking at it. Cause I've seen games done quick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And,
that's blown my mind.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird because it's a week long event, and my thing is on the screen every like 5 minutes, and they mention it by name whenever there's a prize segment. But the only time I get traffic driven to my website is when they say heroicreplicas.com, and that's the magic key to unlock it, and then my website crashes.
Every time.
Well, this year I upgraded to Squarespace.
It crashes.
They promised that it wouldn't, and we'll see.
Well, fingers crossed. Let's hope you get loads of orders.
Going through to Squarespace, just like, look, twice a year, my website goes down because I'm incredibly popular at making swords, and this event comes on. Can you promise me this isn't going to go down?
Yeah, and it got to the point where it was like, okay, I have a month until the next event. Let's get my current host on the line and see what they can do. And they're like, yeah, no, we can't do nothing. What do you want? So we change
well,
the hosting
and just leave.
get going on it. So I'm starting to do some smaller trinkets as well on my site. So if you want something like one of these high-end replicas, for reference, they're between like $1,500 or $2,000 typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes they get a little bit more if it's more extravagant. But yeah. I'm also doing some smaller things. Like I have a coin from Hades and I have a pendant from Stardew Valley, the mermaid's pendant, the thing that you propose with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are on my smaller merch store.
Okay. What sort of prices are these then? If you don't mind me asking.
The coin is like $10 a pop and the pendant is like $125.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're like great gifts, aren't they, as well? Like they're, yeah. I'm not playing Hades yet. I didn't recognize the coin, but I thought they were cool right away. I was like, ooh, I could have those around the house.
Just knocking around.
Yeah, just knocking around. You can pay the milkman with it if you want to give him a tip, you know.
You can get a stack of 5 for $40.
There you go.
Not bad.
Stack it up. Bargain. Get the little discounts.
Yeah. So with the sword from Transistor then?
So the sword from Transistor was a one-off commission. Was, I think it was like one of the first real commissions that I had. Like the order of things that I made was the Master Sword and then the Infinity Gauntlet and then the Transistor. So it was the third thing I ever really made.
Right.
Okay.
So looking at the photo, it looks pretty good, but when you look it up close or look at it from a different angle, it's really not my best work.
Okay.
So I did put a lot of time and effort into it, and the guy was very ecstatic with the photos, but when he received it, he wasn't very happy. And I do my best to solve issues like that, but it's mm-hmm. a really hard situation. In general, if you are yeah. not happy, then I will replace it with a new one, and that goes with almost any of my replicas nowadays. But if you do the nuclear option and contact PayPal and say, hey, this guy sold me something, I want to shut it down. I want to say, nope, the invoice says sales final, and have a good one. You know?
Yeah, no, that's understandable. Like, you go about it in the correct way with customer service like that, though, don't you? Like, there's no mm-hmm. reason to go straight to PayPal and start complaining that with that kind of stuff. As long as, yeah. you know,
yeah.
you come across as a perfectly reasonable person, like you obviously supply yeah. a good service and you know what you're doing.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, no worries, yeah. man.
it's an impressive looking thing, though. Like, even down to if the person wasn't massively happy with it, when you're looking at the pictures and stuff, it's quite intricate. Like, you can see the light coming through it, the different yeah. metal types. How long did that take?
Oh, that took, like, I'd say 2 months or so. Wow. Like, it's all weekends and evenings type thing, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So everything I've made up until last month, I was also making with a full-time job.
Wow, okay.
and I got laid off last month.
Right, okay.
So,
right.
But, you know, the next job's just around the corner. It's not a big deal. Yeah. And I got a little bit of time to work on my website and wrap up some projects and stuff like that.
Very cool. I mean, like, is there anything here, like, and thinking as from an artistic point of view, there's obviously when people approach you with a project, and on your website you do state, like, you know, let's do something cool. If you've got an idea, let's talk about it. Is there mm-hmm. anything that you've been approached with that you've just been like, oh my God, that is insanely difficult? Like, one of the pieces that I'm looking at is like the Zora Trident you've got from Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, that's a really high-end one. It's scaled down a little bit so that it can fit inside of a standard shipping box, and it's going to be made out of sections.
Okay.
But that isn't too extravagant, like, even compared to like the Fierce Deity sword.
Really?
That's
surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like it's. Yeah, the most complicated thing I've ever asked a quote on is like the Sword of Astorius. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. The one that the wolf wields in Dark Souls.
Artorius from Dark Souls.
Sword of Artorius.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to do that right, it's going to ship in a crate. It's going to be like 70 pounds, like, unless you want to scale it down. And I'm like, well, it's $5,000, something like that.
Wow. Yeah. I did see someone make one of those. Like,
oh.
Yes. Yeah, I saw one. It was on the expo floor, and people were having a hard time lifting it.
Yeah, I saw people trying to pick it up because it's a hefty boy.
Is that the Man at Arms Reforged group that do those? Isn't it?
I think it was.
YouTube channel I've seen a few videos of where they hand forge all the stuff.
Yeah, they were sponsored
by. Which is insane to me.
By Namco, I think, to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly.
Insane. I was going to ask you what kind of smith you are. Are you like an Andre Smith from Dark Souls, or like?
I am not, you know, a smith.
Will Smith. I know. And then Will you started Smith. Talking about your methods.
Yeah, tested Will Smith.
I forgot. Yeah. I couldn't remember any other Smith names, so I was like, Will Smith.
Close enough.
And then you mentioned your methods, and I was like, oh, I can't really ask that anymore. Yeah. It's like, damn.
I missed out on a joke.
I missed out on the Will Smith joke, but I managed to get it in there.
Yeah, you slid it in there.
Right.
Yeah, so is there anything that's been so complicated stuff. You've been asked?
I think the most recent one, because of the Smash announcement, would be the new Xenoblade weapons, the sword and the shield.
I don't think I've actually even seen those. Is that the,
I have no idea the one
that
is.
Mithra's sword.
Xenoblade Mithra's sword. Let me have a look. Yes.
Yeah,
that's holy Christ.
You look at it, you don't really know what the materials are made out of, and it's all convex shapes, and it looks like if you made it out of foam, you could probably knock it out in a month.
Damn.
I think my speciality comes in like steel and aluminum and stuff like that.
Yeah, it looks like a Gundam.
Does seem incredibly strange.
Yes.
She's wearing a very short skirt.
Anime.
That's all I'm going to say on that subject. Anime.
Anime.
Anime. The excuse for all first on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I planned to come out this month. I should have on my Twitter, at Heroic Replicas, more photos of Ike's Ragnall. So Ike from Fire Emblem, he has a sword that's almost as tall as he is, with a large golden blade. And I have the parts to put that together probably early next month. That one was a slightly different approach because instead of a steel blade, I did an aluminum blade so that I could just anodize the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's anodized gold. So it has that kind of worn, kind of cloudy gold look that matches the art.
Yeah, because I've seen him in Smash Brothers. It's him and Roy and Marth, and there's someone else now as well in Smash, isn't there? From
Lucina, Robin, and the new one, and also another one.
God, they're really expanding it. It's funny, like, I've never even played a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a Fire Emblem.
Oh, no, neither right.
I'm on fire.
No, that's just my mother-in-law cooking. We'll pause for a second.
Okay. Sorry, I was getting, right. No, that's just my mother-in-law.
That sword has quite a bulbous tip, if you Google it.
Yes.
It does indeed.
Yes. Sharks like to be a big fan.
They would
be a friends of ours have a... have a podcast that's a bit disgusting in ways like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I might send it to him. But is this your kind of sword?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be all over that.
So yeah, other planned replicas, Evoker from Persona 3, the pistol.
Yes, I saw that. Nice.
So I have, I'm missing like one or two components for it, but it is designed to... The slide does pull out, and then that primes the mechanism that's a slug in the middle of it, where if you pull the trigger, it will slam forward.
Nice. I was going to say, it looks like it's got the mechanical trigger in it. With it being a firearm, is there anything that you have to, like, any guidelines you have to go by?
It's not a firearm because it does not shoot anything.
Okay.
The thing about guns is that the thing that I have designed as it is versus a Nerf weapon, it would take about the same amount of effort for it to receive a cartridge and be able to fire a bullet.
Okay.
Are you going to make it Nerf compatible?
No.
Damn it.
No. The nozzle is too small for that.
Yeah.
But the... it's definitely going to be kind of weird mailing out the first one, but we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it doesn't get scanned at the post office.
Well, even if it does, it's like I put some documentation in there and look at my local.
What are you doing opening my package? How dare you?
People open packages all the time. Making swords, it would do me a little bit of good to look up the proper laws and whatnot for swords and legality. And in most places, a sword is fine, but something that is easily accessible and a blade is a big no-no. So if you have a switchblade with a spring or like a hidden blade or a push blade or something like that, then that's prohibited and you'll have a really hard time trying to get that past customs if they scan it. But like the factoid is that if you have a hidden sword in a cane, it's only illegal if the blade is shorter than 12 inches.
Okay. So you could have a 14-inch blade inside of a cane and it's legal?
Yes. Because the idea is that a short blade is something that you can get easily if you're in like a fight or a scrap, and that will cause harm that doesn't need to happen. But if you have something that is technically hard to wield, then people either see you coming or will have time to get away or won't do as much damage because you have to, like, take a minute to use it.
Right, okay.
It'd be better if instead of guns, everyone had swords.
Yeah.
You could just, have at thee instead of on the street.
Yeah.
I think the cooler thing would be what if everybody bought swords and then put them on their wall?
Exactly. Yeah.
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 This is my conversation piece.
Yes.
Sword.
This is my 60-pound Buster blade. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Carrying it, like dragging it to the bus stop to try and get on the bus. This is my concealed carry. Massive Buster.
It's not very concealed. But,
yeah.
And no. Also, it's under a massive blanket. He's dragging around with him.
If I happen to be wrong, I want some comments in the comment section, and I mm-hmm. want you to start with actually.
Actually, yeah. I'm sure they will let you know.
I'll have you know. Yeah. Well, nice. Isn't it that you can buy swords and stuff in England because it counts as cutlery for some reason, as long as it's not a lockback knife or something like that?
Yeah, I managed to get a sword through a restaurant by slicing a pizza with it.
I wasn't sure if you were taking the piss then.
I was indeed taking the piss, Jordan. I could tell by your silence, you were
It genuinely seems like something you would do, Harrison. That's the only reason I'm saying it.
Granted.
But yeah, I remember looking online years ago, and you can just order like claymores and stuff. Not like the mines that like shoot at like, not the steel ball anti-personnel mines.
Yeah.
But the like swords, you're allowed to just have them because, you know, whatever. You're just not allowed to carry them around. Like you're not allowed to carry a butcher's knife around.
No, you're not. No. I mean, when it comes to making the next sort of things, is there any items that you want to make, Dave, going forward? Like, I was looking at some other replicas online the past few days, and I found, because last week, as I said, we were talking about like nostalgia in gaming, and we were talking about Star Fox for the N64, and I found some replicas of the R-Wing, but they're like 3D printed plastic. Like, to have a fully metal R-Wing, I would be well in for that, like, serious times.
Yeah. So you definitely purchased Starlink for the Switch, then?
No, because I don't know why. What? I didn't. I don't know why I didn't get
what?
It.
What?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
It was literally $15 a couple months ago.
Fan.
I know, but all the Star Fox games went really bad, and I was like, I don't know if it's going to be any good or not.
See, this is a really big thing about making stuff. Like, you'll have people who are like, oh, you should make this, or it would be cool to have this. But it's like, okay, here's the thing. It's made. It's in front of you. It costs $5.
I know, but it's not a metal nice collectible. Like, I'd want, like, a proper cool thing, you know. A plastic collectible is great. It's really cool, like, you know, having, like, a cool Samus figure from Metroid. But to have, like, a metal Samus helmet, like... Mm-hmm. That would be cool. Like, I know that First for Figures made one recently, didn't they? They made a new one from Metroid Prime 1 that, like, lights up the visor and stuff. But again, it's made of plastic and it's resin. To have something
It's like the
metal is awesome.
T-51B helmet from the Fallout thing.
Yeah, that you got.
It's just not great.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, that's depressing, and it cost a lot of money. Was the Doom one any good? Did either of you try out the Doom helmet?
No, I've never had a chance to see one in person.
Well, I haven't seen the Doom helmet. But like, speaking of official merchandise, like, at some point, I think that's the end game for me.
Okay.
Like, I've built up my portfolio, and I think I'm pretty good at putting stuff together. And I actually do have a contract to make some official gaming merchandise.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. Are you allowed to tell us who for yet?
Yes. So it's through Coffee Stain Studios, and specifically Satisfactory.
Very cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Ryan,
so I have a contract with them that I can make replicas and props, and then I give them one, and they approve it, and then I can sell it officially licensed. And there's a couple more details in there, but that's more or less it. So I'm going to give that a shot.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, I
nice.
Hope you all are luck in the world with it. I know that Shard Select had one of the devs on recently from, I don't know who it was they had on. That's so cool, though. That's like hitting another level of making it.
Yeah. And then I got the signed contract back, and I took a moment. I'm like, what is my life?
This episode has to be called What Is My Life? Oh, that's so cool.
But in a good way.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to make? Have you got designs?
Current plan is the Xenobasher, which is the main melee weapon.
Yeah.
I have the parts. I have the design done. The parts are machined. I have a couple more smaller parts that I need to 3D print because there's enough bits and bobs on it that 3D printing is the way to go for it.
Okay.
But the current plan is lights and sound, which is something that I haven't. I have a little bit of experience with, but you know, one step at a time.
Yeah. Well, when you start incorporating light and sound into stuff like that, it falls into, like, have you seen any of those replica lightsabers that people make, like Saber Forge and Ultra Sabers and stuff?
Those people are crazy.
They are so crazy. They love that shit. I actually have one of the licensed Kylo Ren ones over here somewhere. And I got it just because I thought it was like, it just looked cool. I saw it online. It was reduced. And I was like, I'm going to have one of those. And it is pretty decent.
This is mine now.
Mm-hmm. They're very cool. But the ones that they make through the other companies, like the custom shop ones, they go into some serious detail about what is in there with the different sound fonts and like, depending which way the blade's tilted, it'll do different things, and you can scrape it across the ground and it makes like burning sounds. And I don't even know how they program half of that stuff. And what are you thinking of doing with the sounds in yours? Is it going to be just like that, like when it hits the, oh no, I suppose not when it hits things, but
yeah. So I'm going to invent
things gently.
I'm going to invent a button that isn't there, and then when you press it, it's going to go that's about it, I think. Yeah. If I wanted to get super fancy with it, I could make it like cycle through a couple different sounds. But with the chip that I have that I'm working with, I want to get it working first. We'll start there.
Get a test. And then you can be the fanciest man you want, Dave, down in the future. Yes. You can get all the different sounds that you like in there.
Exactly. And it has a light down the middle. It has like it's three struts and then a tube in the center. And the tube has an EL wire and that lights up.
Very nice. Very cool. Awesome. I was looking at some of the lighting up props today. I found it was a company called The Wand Company. And I remember seeing this a while back, and they've made a Pokeball. I don't know if you've seen this, Jordan, but you might be very interested. It's like a 100-pound zinc cast Pokeball.
Right.
And it comes in a little box, and when you open it, the box like brings the Pokeball up, so it like raises the surface of it. And when your hand goes near it, it's got a motion, well, it's got a proximity detector and a touch sensor. So it starts to light up as your hand comes towards it. And then as you touch it, it lights up properly and makes the sound when you pick it up. It's so cool. I don't think
it's 100 pounds, but it's probably like 6 or 7.
I mean, I know what you're
talking about.
In the money.
The currency.
You get me now,
Dave. I did wonder. I was like 600 or 700? That doesn't sound right.
That sounds very expensive. I've been duped. Right.
I've been duped.
So you have a 100 monies Pokeball. It doesn't open, right?
It doesn't. That's my only qualm.
It doesn't.
I've got qualms. And it's got a... It's like... It's not metal all the way through, it says. It's like like if you're gonna be doing it, I'd like it to open and have like the mirrors inside or something. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. It opens magically. Like I have had a request for Pokeball design, and you know, you look at the reference, it opens on a feather hinge. Mm-hmm. And then you look at what they do for the toys or like the Burger King Pokeball, and they put in, you know, three stiffeners for reinforcement and a spring in there.
Yeah.
And it looks bulky and stupid, but it's the only way you can actually make it work.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Unless you design it so it doesn't work, and then you charge 100 money units for it.
100 money units. And there's one that's going to be more expensive because they've just made a Master Ball version that is limited to 5,000 units, I think.
I did just see that, and that is like £328.
Ouch! For a ball that doesn't open.
Which, it does literally nothing.
And I can't throw it.
And it's got the bulbousy, like... The only way I can describe it is, like, boobs on it, on the top.
The little red nips on the top.
Yeah. That's what the Master Ball looks like.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't look like it should fit in the box because of them. Because it wouldn't...
It moves down. The surface moves down when you close the box.
Oh, I see. Why would people pay that amount of money for that? Like, fair play if you want to, but it's like...
Yeah.
People
People buy the things that they like.
Yeah, I kind of want to. That's the annoying thing. I kind of want to buy it.
So, the Master Ball is best known for having a 100% catch rate.
It is.
And the truth is that this Master Ball also has a 100% catch rate, except there happen to be no real-world Pokemon.
Yeah, damn it.
So,
darn.
That's the... That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. That's the stipulation. That's in the small print underneath, damn, isn't it?
I've been fooled again.
I've been had.
What if someone did make a Pokemon, like, next week? Do you know what I mean? What if someone genetically made a Pokemon and they were like, this is, for all intents and purposes, a Pokemon? Yeah. Do you think they'd have to update their terms and conditions to just be like, son of a bitch? We're just like, right, we're gonna have to recall these or give people refunds because it actually does not catch Pokemon.
Yeah.
And, like, anecdotally, so I have the Stardew Valley Mermaids pendant in my shop on heroicreplicas.com.
Nice.
I did, in fact, use one to propose to my own girlfriend, who is now my fiance.
That is beautiful. Oh. Even better that she said yes. It would be a real, like, hit to the heart and to the business if she said no.
Yeah.
So it's guaranteed to work every time, sample size of one.
There you go. It's basically the Master Ball in necklace form.
Yeah, and I have gotten some feedback saying, thank you very much. We appreciate having you be a part of our special day. A number of Master Swords I've completed have been, like, for cutting a wedding cake, that sort of thing.
Ah, that's awesome.
I saw someone cut a wedding cake with a Viking, like, two-handed axe. Year ago. That was interesting.
Did they take a swing or did they do it slowly?
Well, the picture makes it look like they took a swing, but no, they did it very carefully. And then I had to wander around a massive country estate, like, trying to find somewhere to clean it and store it after it was done. I was like, do you want me to take that? Because you've got to do your first dance in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, you can't dance. Well, you could dance with an axe, I suppose. But yeah, was this Dave? Was this Dave by any chance?
It wasn't Dave. No, it wasn't Dave.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't sure whether he was married or not. I couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're coming up on an hour from this episode, so we have, like, screamed up through this very, very quickly. This is absolutely flown by, Dave, so thank you very much for coming on. Is there...
Oh, thank you for having me.
No worries. Welcome back anytime. Do you want to plug your site one more time for anyone who didn't hear about HeroReplicas.com?
Oh, for sure. My name's Dave. I have a little website called heroicreplicas.com. Mm-hmm. We make custom replicas and props, high-end, specializing in all-metal creations. We are open for commissions. Commissions for 2021 are filling up pretty quickly. We also have a little shop if you like little trinkets. And if you want to see more of our work, you can visit me on the Instagram at Heroic Replicas, Twitter at Heroic Replicas, the Facebook at Heroic Replicas. And there's also the website.
Amazing. Thank you. That was the smoothest. Have you done podcasts before? It was very smooth, that.
No. This is my first ever podcast.
Oh, my God. Well, it's been a pleasure to journey through it with you. Jordan, where can they find us? And where can they find you personally as well?
You can find us everywhere at Grief Burrito, and I mean everywhere.
Look at that. Absolutely everywhere.
And you can find me at the Mr. Johncore.
You can. And you can find me
Twitter
at HasWild absolutely everywhere. And remember, griefburrito.com is now existing. It's out there in the ether where you can watch and like and watch all our reviews and all that biz. So make sure to go follow that. And if you watch on YouTube, leave a like and a subscribe. And we'll see you next week. So we'll see you later, guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Farewell.